Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to For the Love of Learning. This is Christine DiDomenico, and I'm joined by my co-host, Simone Fedor. Hi, Simone.
Hello.
And today's topic is Choosing Beyond the Blues, and our guest is Julie Perkins. Julie is a coach, a teacher, a motivational speaker. She's a radio show host. She does a show called Teams Done Different. She's an international best-selling author, an energy worker and healer, and also a breast cancer thriver is how she describes it, and shamanic practitioner. She is a specialist with teens and kids. So thank you, Julie, for joining us. How you doing?
Thank you, Christine and Simone, for having me here. I'm doing great. Doing great today. Looking forward to chatting with you about all kinds of things.
Terrific. And we actually chose this topic because it is Suicide Awareness Week. So Julie, what can you tell us about choosing beyond the blues? Where would you like to start?
Well, this is a broad topic, and again, thank you for having me on the show during this week about suicide awareness, and maybe that's the place that we can start with, is the awareness piece. And so many times there's people who are feeling blue, as the expression goes, which has been known to be correlated with sadness or depression. And there's a lot of times that they are just not noticed, or they just don't have a way to communicate or reach out with that. And what has been increasingly surprising to me is that, you know, when I first heard the expression, you know, being blue or having the blues, it was decades ago. And I felt like it was an adult thing, you know, kind of a grown-up thing that you kind of get further into life, you get more responsibilities, you get more pressures, and then you kind of get tired and you kind of get a little sad and blue sometimes, and it's just the way that it was. And it was, again, an older kind of predicament, so to speak. And what has been really surprising to me is to find out how many youngsters, how many kids, and especially teenagers that are really feeling all of what I used to classify as those kind of adult things. They're feeling them a lot earlier in their life, the stress, the pressure to perform and to be perfect and to get it right is really bearing down on them quite heavily and really causing them to come out of the natural, what I would call the natural childlike happiness that you see the kids on the playground with, you know, just playing and having that kind of freedom and changing up the game. You know, one of my favorite things to watch is when kids are playing a game and it's not quite going the way they want it to, and they just call do over, and they start and just do it all over again, you know. So it's always so refreshing, and to see that kind of empowerment is like, yeah, this isn't quite going the way I want to do it. Let's just change it up, all right? And we can, and so we're going to. So again, I think that, you know, the my biggest concern is that this is being pushed down into the younger ages. And I have been wondering what else is possible with that. And so that's one of the things that I hope that we can chat about here today. What else is possible with the young kids when they're feeling blue?
Well, it's interesting because, I mean, I've just started working at a school. It's just a regular public school. They call it something different in England. But and I've been sort of watching, because I've always worked pretty much in alternative schools. And, you know, like there's all of this, you know, you must follow direction and you must do this and you must be quiet and you must sit like this and you da-da-da-da-da. And there's all this. And if you don't, you're wrong.
yeah.
So what are some of the things that you use to, I can't remember if you said you were a teacher or a parent or both, or my brain is pretty fried, as I said
yeah.
before the call.
Yes,
when was
yes,
kids
parent.
Today, I don't have a brain left.
Yes, parent, and most of my teaching experience has been for adults who, of course, when they come in the classroom, have families. So you hear about the stories there. But one of the things that I use, no matter who I'm working with, or whether I'm working with the kids, whether I'm working with the teens, whether I'm working with the parents, is to take the nature break. And the healing power of nature, and even if you're in an office building, or even if you're in the city, and even if you're at the school or in the schoolyard, there is always a piece of nature that you can go and have a few moments to commune with. So whether it be kicking off your shoes and wiggling your toes in the grass. Do you remember that scene from Pretty Woman where Julia Roberts invites Richard Gere to do that? He's the all stressed
yep.
out businessman, and he's walking in Central Park with his shoes off, you know. So I'll leave you with that imagery there. And then the kids so know how to do that. How many times have you seen the kids just running and playing tag or playing some other outside game, but using a tree as part of their game, as home
yeah.
base? And so, you know, and even hugging the trees. I spent 18 years in Boulder, Colorado. So we are definitely a nature-centric tree-hugging community there. So hug a tree or get yourself a live plant to put in your space, you know, and just have that moment with the nature to gift and receive and exchange. Because the judgment that you were just speaking about is not present in nature.
No, true story.
Nature's not worried about getting it right or wrong. The animals don't worry. You know, squirrels aren't saying, does this dress look good on me? You know, what do you think? Do you think they're going to be judging me in the office if I wear it? You know, none of that goes on with the animals, with the plants, with anything in nature. And so that is one of my number one tools for using that as I invite people to that into their lives on a daily basis, a nature break.
Yeah. Cool. That's awesome. And then how would you say for people that do that, how can they bring that energy of that no judgment back into their lives? So, you know, they're out in nature, they're feeling the no judgment, they have that space and peace, and now they come back into the go, go, go world and life that they live in.
Yeah, and so one of the things that they can do is bring kind of a reminder with them that can, when looked at or touched, can actually bring them back to that space. And so sometimes people who love photography will take a really great picture and post it somewhere where they look often. If they're at work in their cubicle or somewhere above their desk or in the homework space, something like that. So a picture can do that. Actually, again, a potted plant can do that. A piece of nature, my kids always loved rocks. And so whatever we were going and whatever vacation we went on, we would always come back with about 5 pounds of different kind of rocks. So, you know, different shapes, colors, textures, stripes, you know, all of those kinds of things. So that kind of reminder when touched or looked at can help you bridge and go into that space. And also just remember that, you know, judgment is not in existence in nature. It's something that we invented here. So just remembering that, it's like, oh, yeah, that's not real and true for me.
Yeah.
And just having that respite.
Well, it's funny because Christine, this happens to Christine and I all the time, where something comes up before whatever show we're going to do that sort of totally relates to the show, or yeah, it's really funny. And today I had several times where kids, you know, they were got into trouble, if you will, or weren't following directions. And I mean, I never have a point of view about it. I mean, I know that in order to keep everything running smoothly and stuff, there's certain things that I need to keep going. And there was this little girl walking along, and this other boy was like tossing his lunch bucket at her, you know, as she was trying to walk, and she was getting upset and he was getting upset. And I just sort of pulled her aside, and she thought immediately she was wrong. And I was like, look, like when somebody's being a jerk, sometimes just step away. And she was like, oh, like I'm not wrong. I'm like, no, just, you know. And then I saw her about a few hours later, and she looked at me and she gave me this huge smile to the point that I didn't recognize the child. Like, I was like, oh, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that permission, that permission to do that, you know, and that's, and so how cool is that, that you can give her that space and that permission to do that. And I also just tell everybody, if you're not getting permission to take a nature break for whatever reason, then figure out a way to create it yourself, you know, like just sit there holding a stone in your hand or, you know, something like that. Whatever you need to do to create that for you, go ahead and give yourself permission, go ahead and do that.
I talked to a woman, this is years ago, and she was talking about, you know, schools, and, you know, everybody says, oh, they're made out of concrete and they're made out of da-da-da-da-da. And she said, what if you could tap into the consciousness of the desks and the paper and the crayons? And the, and I was like, holy crap. Like, I never used this before.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and that kind of, and kids really, I notice, gravitate towards those kinds of invitations, those kinds of exercises. You can even integrate that into your day. One of the things that my kids and I always did as well was we had an imagination station, you know, just a place where you needed some time to go and dream a bit and create a bit. We called it the imagination station. And at various points, you know, in their lives at different ages, they were in either various places of the house, where we had a nice house on open space in Boulder, and so there would be a place in the yard, or we had a fort and things like that. And so they could decorate it any way that they wanted to, and it was just that kind of space to sort of air out a little bit, is what I call it, just sort of let the cobwebs out of the head, the stuff that's sort of spinning around up there, air out a little bit and dream a little bit and imagine. Imagine. And, you know, some people have actually used that at work and actually called it kind of like, oh, I'm doing my meditation, you know, give me my 5 minutes to do my meditation. So whatever you want to call it, but it's that space where, you know, you are not looking at everything that is challenging you in this moment. Instead, you're going to the space of possibilities. And what else is possible here?
Well, one of the things that I've noticed out on the playground, when I take my granddaughters to the playground and they're out in nature and enjoying themselves, I've often noticed parents who try to control their kids' choices on the playground. So, you know, I'm just wondering about how much they are actually able to receive when a parent, you know, we want, I think what, where they're coming from is they want their kids to get the most out of this that they can get out of playing on the playground. And so they make suggestions about where they need to go. Yet that their gift in taking them to the park or outdoor is to allow them to just be. And kids are so good at that, right? I mean, kids are just really good at just being, oh, I'm going to go on this piece of equipment now, and then I'm going to go over here. Or if they're out in the woods, they're going to examine this and check out that and touch this and touch that. So, you know, would you talk a little bit about how as parents, if we can just let go and allow our kids to make choices, how that can take some of that pressure to perform and getting it right, how that can change a lot of that.
Yeah, and thank you for that invitation, Christine, because that's really what I get that is required right now, is that we all need to be that invitation to just letting them be and explore on their own. And that's part of what I think the pressure that gets set up. If you watched the movie The Race to Nowhere, the documentary about the pressures that kids are under at school, there were a few parents in there who were talking about, well, you know, I just kind of wanted them to have everything that I didn't have. And so they are bringing that point of view into the equation, and also the point of view that is underlying a lot of the school systems, which is performance and right and wrong and perfection, to a standard, quote unquote, a perfection kind of thing. And interesting to me in the documentary that one woman said, yeah, well, okay, I just was just doing my best. So I think a lot of times the parents are really unconscious about it. They just might have something like that running underneath that's really driving them, you know, to kind of really manage and be in there and managing all of that. And then there was also another mom who said something like, yeah, well, she's not going to go right to college. She's going to have a year off, and that would be okay. And the way she was talking about it was kind of like, sure, you can pause right now, but you're still going to go to college. You're still going to go. You know, like there was this energy of like, sure, you can just go slower, but it's going to happen. You know what I mean? So, you know, it was, and I was like, wow, you know. So where is the choice in that? You know, I think that if we are all truly committed to a life that is rich and really joyful, really fun, really creative, and all the things that we desire, and I want everybody to start asking, you know, where is it that I am can be a contribution. And where is it that I can empower and work towards facilitating the empowerment of others? So that kind of management, my daughter asked me to talk about on our radio show once, and we were talking about it. And she was cutting at an early age. And so she was a preteen, and she had begun cutting. Of course, as soon as I found out, I freaked out. And I was like, oh, my God, this is bad. This is wrong. This has to stop. And it wasn't until I started asking questions about what was really going on. And it wasn't until I didn't make it significant and invited her to other possibilities and let her choose. It didn't stop overnight. And I stopped swooping in to try to manage and save and rescue her. It wasn't until I stopped all of that it changed for her. She found enough space to choose for herself, to explore all the options, and say, you know what, okay, I get it. I was choosing it for this reason, and that no longer applies, and what else is possible? So she, you know, she's really found her way through that, and part of that was me not being, they have the term, right? A helicopter parent, right?
Right.
It was part of me not hovering over her. So, you know, what else is possible there?
Well, I want to talk a little bit more about this because I think this is huge. And I also get that it's not so easy for people to get this. It wasn't for me. And I've been in the same circumstance where my son was choosing things that, in my opinion, were pretty insane, and I was trying to control it and get him to choose something different. Nothing worked. And I remember Gary Douglas, founder of Access Consciousness, saying to me, are you willing to let him die? And I wasn't at that point. And I did get to the point where, yes, I was willing to let him choose, even if it was the choice to die. And when I was finally in that place of allowance in that respect, and many other respects as well of being an allowance, he started to change and he started to make different choices. So
yeah.
I cannot, highlight that enough, how that place or space of allowance is actually what can create the change. So would you talk a little bit more about that for maybe people that, you know, because I've talked to people who have used the tools of Access Consciousness, yet there's still that, you know, a strong point of view about what their kids should be choosing.
Right, right.
So how do we get there?
Yeah. How do we get there? So thank you for sharing, Christine, because I know it is not easy. And so what I just described to you in those few sentences with my daughter was years worth of work and being really present with what is. And I think that that is the key, is to really be aggressively present with yourself and with any situation, with your kids, and to be willing, like you said, to be willing to lose everything. It doesn't mean that you will, but it's that desire, that need to have things a certain way is what can start contracting the energy. And these kids are so smart. They're so energetically astute. And they always have been. We all have been. We came in that way. And it's just through working through the systems of life and this reality, school or work or organizations of that nature, that we start in training to other points of view. And it's hard to really know what is true for us. So being in that space of allowance, again, requires that aggressive presence and asking a lot of questions. One of the things that I notice, I still do this, even after 5 years of access and after decades of other self-help and personal development modalities, I still go into assumption. I think I'm a highly intuitive being. I just know stuff, right? You know, people always tell me that, oh, you're so intuitive. You just know stuff. Well, I just know stuff. I just see one thing or I get one kind of input, and then all of a sudden, I'm in an assumption. I'm in a conclusion of what's going on. Instead of asking, what's up? What's going on? That one shift started me on a different path. Out of assumption and conclusion, into question. That one shift. And it's not to say that it's all going to be that easy. A lot of times it could be really intense. And how aware are you willing to be? I mean, I think in my case, you may know that we also had a son. He's chosen to go beyond his body about 17 months ago. And there was a lot that I knew that I didn't want to know. There was a lot that was kind of unconscious and subconscious and that I wasn't cognating yet, if that's the word, cognizant of yet. And a lot of it was because it just was in my world that that could be a possibility, that that could be a choice. And at the same time, I had been asking more questions. At the same time, I was going into more allowance. And at the same time, it was recognized that that was a contribution to him into making the choices that created the circumstances under which he left. So it was really, when people say, oh, I can do that tomorrow or someday, or I'm too far past, you're never too late to make change. And if something's not working for you and you'd like to change it, go forth boldly. It's what I encourage people to do. Take two more steps and change it. Be the one who changes it. instead of expecting or projecting anybody else to change it or blaming them, whatever else it is, be the one who says, this changes now. And ask some questions. And stick with it. Stick with it. What else can I tell you about that? What are you curious about?
One of my questions is, so when you have a situation like that, like what are some of the tools that you have used? Because so often I know parents, family members, friends, whomever, they go into the wrongness of them, or they go, oh, I could have done something, or so what are some of the things that you use?
Yeah, so the I could have done something is really, was really prevalent for me. And so what I actually did for that was to go into like hyper kindness.
Mm.
So the same kindness that you would extend to a loved one, a crying kid, you know, a student who is really struggling needs you, that kindness and that presence that you would extend to another, you need to extend to yourself.
Mm. Because, can make you cry.
Yeah. and it's so, you know, you say it and you're like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And at the same time, it's just not done.
No.
Not a lot. Not a lot. You know, not a lot. And if you can be that space and be hyper, uber, ultra kind to yourself and know that everybody is always at choice, in choice, and that everything is a choice, and relieve yourself of that responsibility, what would that create for you and your body?
Mm.
You know, there's a sense of relaxation in that. Mm-hmm. A lot of parents have really given themselves the job of parenting without a lot of tools or the manual of parenting, right? There is none. But, you know, nobody really taught us how to be parents. And we're doing the best that we can with the information and the tools we have available at the time. And so for what reason would we beat ourselves up when things mm-hmm. didn't go as we thought or desired?
Yeah.
Kindness, 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 nurturing, 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 whatever feels like that to you in your body. Me, nature and bubble baths, talk to. What are some of the things that you ladies like to do to nurture and be kind to yourselves?
It's funny because this has come up fairly lately where I've got somebody in my life that is slowly on their way out. and one of the things that became very apparent to me, because I hadn't been teaching for a year, was I need to do something for me that every day is a joy and nurturing, like you say. And for me, that's teaching.
Ah, I want to be in your classroom.
Never too late.
Perceive that energy, folks. Yeah, somebody who loves what she's doing and what she's being. Wow. Love that.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for me, I do love to be out in nature, and I love to paint. I love to paint furniture, mm-hmm. and it puts me in that such a space that's so nurturing. And so I'm glad you're asking this question, because I don't always allow myself the nurturing. This morning I went for a manicure and pedicure. I'm going to a wedding, and it was just, that was so nice. And I, you know, I don't do that often. That's not, you know, something that's, it is nurturing. And just sitting there, was a kindness to me.
Yeah.
And having someone else touch my body, that was nurturing to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And listen to the creativity in all of these examples too, you know. You're creating something. You know, you're working with kids who are creative and creating, and the artistry of painting, whether it be furniture or fingernails or toenails, right? And, you know, and that's also something that I highly encourage everybody to do, is do something what they consider to be creative. For some people, it's playing an instrument. Some, it's just writing something or scribbling in a journal or doodling or, you know, any kind of the arts. So, you know, how can we instill that back in there? And that's, you know, was a big part of the imagination station that we had in the house. My daughter was especially good with that, exploring all kinds of artistic mediums and crayons and pencils and charcoals and pastels and paints and all kinds of really cool things, you know, that she really liked to do. So, and now she's a singer-songwriter major in high school.
Oh, wow.
You know, writing stories.
And she's amazing.
And poems and lyrics and singing songs and, you know, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So how does it get any better than that? Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I would say kindness first. Kindness, kindness, kindness. Nurturing, nurturing, nurturing. A little more of that, please.
Mm. Yes, and this all fits into our topic of choosing beyond the blues, of being the kindness, and also my mind just went blank. well, when you were
I know
talking
that feeling.
About the kindness, yeah, the kindness of self, especially after going through something that you went through, because other people tell us, you know, don't blame yourself. You know, you couldn't have done anything. I remember the same thing when my father died. My mother, he had just gone in a nursing home, was only there 10 days and died. And my mother was sick for the 10 days that he was in there and never went to visit him. And so she was feeling guilty all about that. And so, you know, and I was saying, you can't blame yourself. This is, you know, what if this was the choice that he made, that that's exactly what he wanted. So we tell other people these things, yet we don't allow ourselves, when we're the one not being kind to ourselves, to look at it the same way. So thank you for
exactly.
That's a huge, huge piece. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's not, it just doesn't go one way, right? It's a two-way street. You can extend that to yourself as well. And you really bring up a good point about choice. You know, so when people, and so from my point of view, everything's a choice. And every choice creates. So if there's something that isn't working for you in your life, if you're sad or blue, then I would encourage you to start asking questions about that in terms of, and with that lens of hyper-kindness, what is going on here? When did this begin? What am I not aware of? What started creating this? You know, it's kind of looking at it from that point, because so too many people, I think, have the point of view that things happen to them.
Mm.
And that kind of slides us into that disempowerment stance. Some people might even call it kind of, you know, victim mentality, right? But that the place where we're like, oh, life sucks, and then you die, and shit happens. You know what I mean? Like, all of that, you know? We're kind of like, yeah, you know, that was a bumper sticker, shit happens in the 70s, and... Well, what if that's not actually true? Well, stuff does happen, but do we have to be the effect of it? That's the question.
Mm.
You know, when did I choose to be the effect of this? And so I think that, you know, as it's this kind of inverse energetic thing that happens as the kids get bigger, it's like their energy gets more contracted sometimes, depending on
what they're choosing to buy. And it's like, wow, they're getting bigger. And the idea is you're supposed to be learning and growing and getting greater somehow because of that. Yet at the same time, their energy goes from this expansive, anything is possible, I'm so creative, I'm having so much fun on the playground, and I can change or do or be anything, to like, oh, I got to be this, I should be doing this or not that. And if I choose this, then this is going to happen. Or if I don't choose that, that'll happen. And it's counterintuitive to me, you know? It's like,
yeah,
the bigger you get biologically and neurologically or physiologically, I'm like, why can't the energy stay big and expansive too? What's up with that, you know?
Yeah.
What else is possible there? And so I really think that, you know, that getting a good sense of self early on by letting them choose, there's a whole body of work called Conscious Kids, Conscious Parenting, and Access Consciousness is a book, and now they're having a call series coming up with Gary Douglas and some phenomenal facilitators and parents. And they are also going to be having a facilitators program. You know, so that space to allow kids to choose and to really get that sense of self and to carry that forward, because then they'll know what's real and true for them. They won't get kind of swept away in the current of what is for their school or for their peers or for their colleagues at work later on. You know, all of that. All of that, all of that. And that's a process. And the more that you choose that, the more that that's going to ripple out to their world. You know, so what if it could be a choice for you to be you instead of making them be the them that they're supposed, you think they're supposed to be? What if you could be you mm-hmm. and invite them to be them? How much fun could that be?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, what you mentioned at the very beginning was awareness, being aware. And what I've noticed when I've heard people talk about their children who have chosen suicide is, or even in the newspaper, I'll see a description of a kid who was an athlete and an A student and this and all these, what we would say are signs of success and all of this, yet so outwardly you don't see these signs, yet if you're not aware, if you're not if you are so involved in this path that your child should take,
yeah,
you're, and you have all these points of view, it's like being in that tunnel, that you're not going to see all the other things going on with your kid no matter what it is. And
right.
So what you were just saying about what if you be you, like what if we actually were more aware of ourselves and the choices that we make instead of being so involved in controlling what's going on with our kids?
Yeah, exactly. And listen to the freedom in that, in what you're describing.
Ugh. Yeah.
Yeah. Perceive that. It's not only freeing for you, but also for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can come together and commune and create from that space. And, you know, it's really subtle. We just don't even recognize it. And so one of the tools that I use all the time is a question, of course, and I'll say, universe, show me when I'm starting to slide out of me. And what I mean by that, it's kind of like having grown up in New York. Black ice, it was a thing. And so when you're driving down the road, and the road looks like it's clear, right? Yet there's this thin layer of ice on the road. Mm-hmm. And you're driving, and all of a sudden, the tail end of your car just starts to do that little bit of slide. And it's ever so subtle. And you're thinking, wow, is that a little bit of ice? And the next thing is, you're spinning around and around and around, you know, and you're ending up in the other direction or in a ditch or somewhere else, and you're thinking, how the heck did I get here? One moment I was driving down the road, the next moment I was in a completely different place, all turned around. And it's that subtle, and it can happen that fast. And so one of the things I've been playing with recently is to ask, universe, show me when I start to slide. And it gives me that nanosecond to pause, ask for more awareness, be aware, and make a different choice. It's like, you're going down that black ice path again. Do you really want to go into that spin? Do you really want to go there? I mean, hey, if you want to do that, cool. No point of view. And just letting you know, you're there. You're right at that point.
Yeah.
You're right at that point.
What I find interesting about that is, for some reason, it seems to happen more when I'm riding a horse or around horses. Things slow down, and I actually get to look and go, huh, I could choose this, this, or this. What would I like to choose here? And when you're talking about that, I never really realized that, but obviously somewhere, sometime, may not even be this lifetime, I made the demand that I actually do that, and that's how it shows up for me.
Yes. Great. Yeah. Love that. Love that. Make the demand.
Mm.
You know, this changes now. This isn't working for me. Or show me when I'm starting to slide. Show, you know.
Yeah.
Make the demand that that awareness time is in your day without the frantic driving down the road. And I use the driving down the road because I'm a lead foot, and that's how I just feel like I lived a whole lot of decades of my life. Pedal down to the floor, you know, just keep going fast forward, you know, and you can miss stuff. You know, you think you know where you're going. You've got the GPS program. It's got all the stuff that you need, right? That's where I'm going. This is how it's going to happen. And what are you missing by driving so fast?
Yeah. Well, and just those moments with your kids where you actually stop and you listen to what they have to tell you.
Yeah.
It is so big to me anyway.
And they know so much, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Truly amazing.
That's one of the things, the biggest myths that I learned early on from my kids is that, they're little people in little bodies and they haven't had a lot of life experience. So how could they possibly know this? And that's my job to teach them. Because I've had more years in this body on the planet. And I know what this planet looks like and how it works and how it functions. And so I'm going to teach them.
Yeah.
That and both my kids. You know, we're like, not so much, Mom. not always ease. And, you know, I learned quickly that maybe I should just fire myself as a parent. And I did many times.
It's
and
so
they fired
difficult.
Me too.
Yeah. And it's so much harder doing it that way. I was such a control freak as a parent, and I had the same circumstance. My first two pretty much let me control them, but my third one came along, and he was not having any of it. So, I mean, who taught who anything? It was him showing me.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
But that's not going to work.
Yeah, and your willingness to do whatever's required to change that and to foster, a communion, a relationship that works, you know. And relationships we just took this sex and relationship class in Los Angeles a couple weekends ago with Gary Douglas and Dane here. And, you know, they talked about relationships. It's not a one-point decision kind of thing. It is a 24/7 work job, you know. It's like something that needs to be attended to, and questions need to be asked, and choices made. And it's kind of an ever growing and ever evolving energetic type thing. And, you know, it's not just intimate relationships. It's anybody that you're in relationship with. You know, what can you gift? What can you contribute? And what can you receive? That's the one thing I think that I also fell into the trap of, is that, like, I'm the parent. I got more miles on the road. I got all this information now and all this stuff, and this is what I'm here to do, and I'm going to gift it and gift it and gift it. And if it's not going right, I'll just gift you some more. I'll just shove it down your throat a little more. And I was just gifted out, you know, and that actually led to a place where I was not being kind to myself and my body, and led to serious illness. As you mentioned in the bio, I'm a breast cancer survivor because I am enjoying and thriving life and living beyond that disease that could have turned out very differently had I not made the choice to choose something, to do something and be something different after getting that wake-up call. And so, you know, think about that too and how that ripples out through a family's family lives, you know, when somebody has a serious illness like that as well. So it's all choice. All choice, people. All choice, awareness. Armed with awareness, making choices for something greater, for something different. And what else is possible?
Well, and that's, you know, this is, whole conversation is such a gift to people, because in this reality, we don't hear these things. You know, we definitely don't hear these things as parents. You know, until I came to Access Consciousness, I thought I was supposed to control my kids as a parent and teacher. I thought that was my job. I thought my job was to protect my kids and to tell them what to do and teach them and all of this. So thank you so much for this conversation, just to allow people to have that awareness about all of this, and especially choice. That was another thing. After my first Access class, when I heard that concept of that I have choice, like, you would think, of course I know I have choice, but I didn't. I really, until I heard that in that way, I didn't realize that I had choice in going to a PTA meeting, not going to a PTA meeting, doing, you know, getting my kids involved in activities or whatever it was. I just packed everything in because I thought that's what I was supposed to do. And when I realized, oh my gosh, I don't have to do that. I have choice. It just changed everything. And it wasn't even that I changed a lot of the things I was choosing. It was just that awareness that I do have choice. I can choose it or not choose it. I don't have to be the PTA mom if I don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
And that just changed everything.
Yeah, and what a beautiful example, really brilliant example of that permission. You gave yourself permission to choose something different, you know. And sure, being PTA president is still an option, still a possibility. If you'd like to choose that, if that's light for you and if that's fun for you. Not a mandate, not that, you know, it's often those, some of those choices are often viewed as like the way to be successful in this reality. You're being a successful elementary school mom if you're on the PTA, and even more successful if you get to be president. If people like you and they think you can do stuff, you know, stuff like that, right? And if that's fun for you, awesome. If it's not fun for you, please give yourself permission to relieve yourself from that stress. And the second point that you make is so, so beautiful as well. It's the awareness. And what if the greatest protection that you have for yourself, what if the greatest protection that our kids have, that our students have, is awareness? awareness. You know, so it was really this interesting kind of place. Wow, my phone just chirped. Did you hear that? It's kind of like, ta-da! Yeah. But, you know, I spent a lot of time protecting my kids, making them aware of worst-case scenarios, making them aware of, you know, tactics to use if a bully approaches you, you know, all of these kinds of things, getting in the faces of administrators at schools, you know, in the name of protecting my kids. Yet at the same time, and this was even before Access, and I was so excited to hear about this in Access, we were sending them out the door, and this was actually more my husband, who is very energetically astute, would say to the kids, he'd say, okay, have a good day, and be aware of your surroundings. That's all he would have to say, just be aware of your surroundings. And then we would go out, and we'd play and practice with it. We'd go to the grocery store or into Target or something like that, and we'd go down the aisles, and we'd say, okay, just pause. What are you aware of right now? And so we'd ask them everything, you know, encourage them to be aware of when people are close to them, when they can perceive another body close by, whether they can perceive where there's kind of wonky energy, you know, here and there, and just that invitation for them to be aware. And, you know, it used to be with my daughter that I would say to her as she would leave, I'd do this little code thing, you know, I'd say, all right, be smart, be safe, you know, and then I'd say, be aware, right? And so that turned into BS, BS, BA. And we started giggling because we were like, wait a minute. Look at that first part. Be safe and be smart turned into BS. Yes, be smart, BS, you know, be safe, BS. You know, and we're like, okay. So what else can we create here with that? So we kind of lopped off the BS, and so we kept the BA, and then we added BU. And so now when I send her off to school, even as a teenager, I baby her. And she gets out of the car, I say, see you later, baby, which stands for be aware and be you. You know, so it's something that's fun that we created together. It's something that I enjoy. It's something that, yeah, as a teenager, someday she still kind of rolls her eyes at, which is kind of fun, too. And at the same time, it's an energetic invitation for her to be aware, for her to be herself. And how does it get any better than that?
How does it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so what if awareness is your greatest protection? You know, what if you can invite your kids to be aware and to share their awareness with you?
And yeah, it's pretty cool when they do.
Yeah. Right?
One day I was riding in the car with my granddaughter. She was probably about 7 at that time, and she told me, she says, I think I died. I said, well, what do you mean? So she started telling me how she thinks she was an old lady and that she died. So she has, I get is that she has an awareness of a past life that she had where she got old and she died. And she said it so matter-of-factly, and I was like, oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And what a great space that you were for her to do that. You know, kids know when they can... when they can share stuff like that.
Yeah,
I get that. I get that more and more that they do. I remember when I was, it was the beginning of a school year, and a fifth grade girl started telling me about the ghost in her house. No, she wasn't telling anybody else. But what I realized was she was aware that I would receive it. Her family laughed at her.
Yeah.
And she knew somewhere in her universe that I would listen. She told me about it. Yeah.
And, you know, what a great space that is. And thank you for that. And what a great invitation. And so what would it be like if we could all be that invitation?
Mm-hmm.
Where there's no judgment. Nothing is right or wrong. and kids can talk about these things without being made crazy or impossible for it. You know, remember the imaginary friends? It's like, okay, you're six now. You shouldn't be having imaginary friends now. You're in school. You know, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
If we could do our best to listen and acknowledge, that would go a long way.
We were drawing families the other day in, I think it was grade two or three. And I said, okay, so we were talking about families and who was in your families. And I said, you could even include your imaginary friends. And they were like, really? They got so excited.
Yeah, that's great. Awesome. Yeah, I could just perceive the excitement in that. So excited, you know. It's like unpacking your favorite toy that you they were told to put away, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Wow.
So, Julie, we have about 4 minutes left. So we did want to give you some time to just mention anything you have coming up. Do you still have your radio show?
Oh, we don't have that radio show. And we are starting something a little bit different, but we do have a Teens Done Different Facebook page. And 6 months of radio shows are archived on the Inspired Choices Network. So you can find them there or contact me through the Teens Done Different Facebook page or through my website, www.julieoperkins.com. You can find me there wherever I may be. I'm currently in Southern California and probably on another adventure in 9 months after our daughter graduates from high school. Who knows where in the world we'll be. So, yeah, thank you again for having me on the show and for exploring different options. So instead of going blue, I wonder what else we can choose. I wonder what other color might be more inviting besides blue. And hopefully there have been some tools and techniques and strategies for people here today to change things. And remember that it's never too late to choose and change.
Yep.
Yeah, thank you. Lots of tools here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you so much.
And right, you mentioned the Conscious Parents, Conscious Kids classes coming up with Gary Douglas. So if you're interested in that, listeners, you can go to accessconsciousness.com and find that under class listings under Gary Douglas classes would be an easy way to find it. Any last words, Julie?
Yeah, the Conscious Kids, Conscious Parenting book is in the Access Shop. And, again, baby yourself. Maybe that's what I'd like to leave everybody with. We're talking about kindness and nurturing and choosing and changing. Baby yourself. Be aware, be you. And enjoy the heck out of life.
Very
Thank
cool.
you, my friends.
Thank you.
Thank you. And you're a great example of that, Julie. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Thank you, ladies. I look forward to hearing what you're creating in the world, and let's keep in touch.
Yeah.
Yes. Great. And thank you to all our listeners. We'll see you next time.
See you next
Bye-bye.
Time. Bye.